Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21. Over the last few weeks, I've talked about decisions and choices we make that change our life. Now we begin about talking about the decision to glorify God in your life. How do you do that? To glorify God in your life, you simply have to realize that we're sinners and ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. And by doing that, he comes into our life and we give him the glory in our life. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross that we might have life. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, the Bible says, "For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which are God's." Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. "Now, may the God of peace, who brought our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, we talked about the decision to glorify your life. And I said in 1 Corinthians, if you look there, it says, "For we are bought with a price," verse 6:20. We are bought with a price. "Therefore, since we've been bought with a price," how, what price? "The blood of Jesus Christ." Since Jesus Christ died on the cross, since God so loved the world that he gave his son for you and I to die on that cross. Since he did that, he redeemed us. We've been bought with his life, with his blood. It says, "Therefore, glorify God in your body." Man, we ought to glorify God in our body, shouldn't we? Our spirit, which are God's. Man, we need to give God complete surrender of our lives. And when we do that, we come realizing that, listen, I can't save myself. There's nothing in this world that I can do to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ and his precious blood. He's redeemed us. And because he has redeemed us, because God so loved us, because Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us, it ought to motivate me. I ought to be motivated to live and glorify God with my life. That simply means everything I do ought to be lifting Christ up. Everywhere I go ought to lift Christ up. Give him the praise and him the glory. Then we looked at a passage of scripture, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you." Once we've given Jesus Christ our life and we're glorifying our life, we ought to seek God. We ought to seek God to be first in our life, shouldn't we? First place in everything we do. First in my life is God. First in my plans. I believe I said our plans. Everywhere I go, I ought to plan that it include God, where it be pleasing for God. Every plan I make, in my possessions, everything I own, everything I have, simply belongs to God. I'm glorifying God. I'm putting him first in my life. And then I believe in our priorities, in everything in my life, make it a priority to put God at the center of my life. Have you done that this morning? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? You're saved, in other words. You've been born again. If you want to glorify God, that's the first step. You've got to give him your life. Now, what I want to talk about this morning, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, And I pray that you have. I pray that everyone in here has given their life to Jesus Christ. Or if you're in here and you've never done that, then before we leave today, that you will realize that you need Jesus Christ. You want to glorify him in your life, and you'll come and accept the precious gift of salvation that Jesus Christ purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. But after we've given him our life, and after we've given him our possessions, our priorities, and our plans, there's a third decision that I want to talk about today. And that decision will literally change your life. It'll change your life forever. It'll change your life for the good forever. It'll change your life because that third decision that I want you to make this morning is to obey the will of God in your life. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 20 again. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, look at what it says, make you complete in every good thing or every good work to do his will. To do his will. Now, Paul often identified himself as an apostle. Look over in Ephesians 1:1. It'll be on the board, I believe. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of who? Jesus Christ. He had surrendered his life to Christ. Amen. He belonged to Christ. He said, I'm no longer mine, but I'm Christ who lives in me. He had surrendered his life, and he says, Paul, an apostle, one sent of Jesus Christ, that by the will of God, it was God's will that he would be apostle to the saints which are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He said, I identified myself with Jesus Christ and doing his will. 1 John 2, verse 17. That passage of scripture says, and the world passeth away the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what? Abides forever. Oh, man. He who does the will of God will abide forever. Now, Hebrews 11:24-26. Look at this passage of scripture. Simply says, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we know the story of Moses, don't we? If you don't know the story of Moses, then you need to be reading your Bible through. Moses went back. Let's start at the first, just in case you missed the story. Moses, when he was a little boy, his mother put him in a little ark that she had made, a basket, and put him in the Nile River to save his life. For Pharaoh had had all the babies, firstborn, killed. So Moses would have been killed. But by faith, his mother saw he was a godly little child and put him in that basket and covered it and put him in the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she called Moses' own mother to raise him. That's just an act of God, folks. God working in Moses' life. And you know, he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He grew up as an Egyptian would. He had the finest education money could buy, had the clothes, man. He had the latest Nike shoes. He had the latest Levi pants. He had everything in Pharaoh's house. He was wealthy. But upon a day, he realized he wasn't an Egyptian. And he realized he belonged to the Hebrew children. He realized what had happened. And you know, when he got of that age, the Bible says he refused everything the Egyptians had given to identify with his own people. Man, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? That'd be like being the wealthiest man in the world, having everything, and just saying, hey, I just realized I belong to the poorest man in the world. I'm going to give all that up and go live with my poor family. You'd probably say, well, that's stupid. But that's what Moses did. You see, because Moses chose God in his life. He chose God instead of self in his life. And he made the choice, God, I want to obey your will for my life. And by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen, folks, that's a big choice. But that choice led Moses to be one of the most well-known people in all the world. Everybody's heard of Moses. Everybody knows Moses. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you made that choice this morning to obey the will of God in your life? Have you made a choice in your life, no matter what else, God, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to be your child. If not, I pray that before you leave this place today, by faith, you'll choose God over everything else in the world and want to do his will in your life. Now, let me encourage you first just to pray. Lord, enlighten me to find your will. Lord, enlighten me. Give me the light. Open up my heart that I might find your will for my life. Hebrews 13, 21. This is a prayer. This is a prayer about understanding God's will and doing God's will. That the will is known and understood. Now, in order, I'm going to tell you something. In order to do God's will, you've got to know something, don't you? You've got to know what God's will is for your life. Amen? You've got to know what God's will. Now, it's safe to say that the majority of Christians in any Baptist church or in any church across America today, it's safe to say that we don't know God's will. Most Christians don't know what God's will is for their life. So let me say, if you don't know what God's will is for your life, you're in the majority today. That's just the way it is. But let me tell you something. God has a will for your life. He does. I don't care who you are. You weren't born just to sit on earth and suck up air. Folks, God had a purpose for you being born. He's got a purpose in his kingdom for you. He sent his son to die for you. Even before you were born, he knew you was going to be born. And he said, listen, I know you're going to be born, and here's my will for you. And he lays it out there. Now, you need to find that will and get to doing God's word for your life. So we need to pray this morning, Lord, help me know what your will is for my life. Enlighten me this morning that I can find your will. Now, if you pray that, there is a possibility of knowing God's will. Look at Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore, it says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. You read that? Wherefore ye be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Unwise simply means ignorant. He says, therefore, don't be ignorant about understanding what the will of God is for your life. You don't have to be ignorant about that. God says, I want you to know what my will is for your life. You see, you don't have to go through life wondering, what in the world, preacher, is God's will for my life? How can I understand God's will for my life? Now, that's probably what some of you are thinking this morning. Well, preacher, I would like to know what God's will is for my life. I've never thought about it. I don't know. How'd I find out God's will for my life? Well, I read it a while ago. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 reminds us that the will of God is something that the God of peace reveals to us. It is something that God reveals to us. Notice that it says in that passage of Scripture that it's God's work in you to know his will. It's God working in you. And it stands for reason that if God has a will for your life, he wants you to know what it is, doesn't it? God wouldn't give you a will for his life and then hide it out there where you can't find it. No, he wants you to know what his will is for your life. But there's some things that we need to know in order to know God's will. I hope I ain't confusing you, but some of you are looking like a calf looking at a new gate. What is he saying up there? How do I find God's will? Well, there's a prerequisite of knowing God's will. Some view it as, like I said a while ago, we're out here looking under every little book and cranny to find God's will for our life. Preacher, I've been looking for God's will for 30 years, and I hadn't found it yet. Well, you're not looking at the right places. There's some prerequisites for finding God's will. He has a will for our life, and he wants you to know his will. But let me tell you something. There's some steps to finding God's will. And I want you to listen to these steps, because this is how you're going to find God's will. It's biblically based. And when you find God's will, it'll unlock that will for your life, and you'll know it. In John 1, 17, this is the key. I want you to look at it. It'll be on the board. John 1, 17. I think it'll be on the board. There it is. Notice carefully. The key to knowing God is simply be willing to do his will. Look at what it says. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God wants you through Jesus Christ to know his will. Now, I have found and believe by experience. Folks, if I am willing to do whatever God wants me to do, he will show me his will for my life. If I am willing, that's a prerequisite. I've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to do whatever God wants me to do. Hebrews, back to Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. You got to be willing to do what God wants you to do. I remember when I was called to preach, I was working. I had a job. Wasn't looking for another job. But I loved to go on mission trips. I loved to go different places and just tell people about Jesus Christ. And the church I grew up in was a mission-minded church. It's kind of like this church here. We gave a lot of people, we gave people opportunities to go on mission trips. And I happened to be growing up in there, and a young married couple, me and Rhonda, and I wanted her to have a day out, so I took a mission trip. And she enjoyed it, and I did too. But I was flying to North Dakota, and I knew the hand of the Lord was heavy upon my heart. I just knew something was there. I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And I prayed, Lord, show me the passage of Scripture I read to you. Enlighten me, Lord, to what you want me to do. And I knew God was trying to get through to me, and he was trying to get through to me. And all the way to Grand Forks, North Dakota, I flew in that plane, and I sat over there at the window looking out, and I just kept thinking, God, show me today. Show me what I'm to do. Well, we landed, got in the car, and it was cold. We headed out to Devil's Fork, North Dakota, to lead a revival. I was going to lead music. My preacher was going to preach. We stopped at a Motel 6, I believe it was, with some other evangelists and friends of ours in the car. We chatted a little bit. I just didn't feel like company that night, so I said, you know, I'm going to go to my room. And the pastor knew that something was bothering me. And he followed me up to the room, and we sat there a minute, and he said, Booney, he said, is something on your heart? And I said, yes, it is, and I don't know what it is. And he said, well, have you ever thought about giving your life to God? I said, well, Jimmy, I've done that. I've been saved, you know, I got saved. What else is there? You know, why has God put this on my heart? He said, I don't know what God's called you to do, but I tell you what, if you will say, Lord, enlighten me and show me your will, and be willing to do whatever he asks you to do, then he'll show you. Now that's the key. Pray, Lord, enlighten me And Lord, I'll be willing to do whatever you want me to do, you see. And that night I got out by my bed. He was there with me, and I knelt down, and he prayed first. Never will forget that. And then I was in tears, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but whatever it is, Lord, I'll do it if you'll give me a peace in my heart about it. Lord, just give me that peace. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I meant that with all my heart that night. I really meant it. There was nothing I wouldn't want to do for God. I loved him. I was motivated by him saving my soul. And, you know, I was a young man, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but, Lord, I want to do it. And I want to do it with all my heart. I give you everything. And you know what? The moment I got up from that floor, that heavy burden was gone. No longer did I feel like God's hand was upon me, just pushing that down on me, but I felt good about it. I felt the perfect peace about it, and I got on the telephone. Didn't have one of these handy phones then. I got on that telephone. I found the operator and got out of there, and I dialed home, and I said, Rhonda, I said, I don't know what you'd think, but I said, God's called me into the ministry. She said, well, that's great. I'm 100% behind you. I said, I think God's calling me to preach. She said, well, great. I'm behind you all the way. I couldn't find an excuse not to do that. She just kept saying, I'll be behind you all the way. Well, I felt great about that decision. I told my pastor, but I didn't tell anybody else. None of the other guys there with me. And I went home, and when I got back in my familiar surroundings, I said, oh, thank you. I'm back home now. I'm going to go back to doing what I know best. And I did, but you know what? I was miserable. And my brother, we were working together in a business, and he looked over at me one day and said, Booney, what in the world's wrong with you? Your heart's not in this anymore. And, oh, man, I felt like I've been found out. And I said, you know, Kent, I said, God called me to preach while I was in North Dakota. And I just didn't want to tell nobody because I was a little bit afraid. And he said, Booney, I think you all have been preaching a long time ago. I'm 100% behind you, brother. And I said, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I said, what are you going to do? We're in business together, kind of. He said, I am going to work over to coal plant. While you was gone, I didn't want to tell you, but I went over there and I found a job with a retirement plan. I said, oh, praise the Lord. Whew, I took a load off of me because I'd worried as much about him as I was anything. I went home, and I still didn't tell the church, but I was, Rhonda come home from Brookshire's one day, and she had this little book, Noah. I believe it was Noah. And she said, would you read this to Eric? He was a little boy at the time. He liked to read. I sat down, and I thought reading that, and I said, oh, man, God's done found me out. But I knew it was God speaking, so I went before the church the next week, and I told them, while I was in North Dakota, I surrendered to do whatever God wants me to do. You know, I didn't know God's will for my life then, but I knew I was willing to do it. And today, we are, you know, if we want to know what God wants us to do, we've got to be willing to do it. You know, today we say, well, I'd like to know about God's will, but I want to know what it is before he tells me. Before I say I'm going to do it. You know, he may send me off to Africa somewhere. I don't know if I want to do that or not. Well, you'll never know God's will for your life if you're going to try to do it that way. Because he wants you just surrendered and say, okay, whatever you want me to do, God, I choose to obey you and I will live for you. And I'll do whatever you want me to do with my life. Now, from the time I surrendered to preach, let me tell you a little secret. I always wanted to be a missionary. We went home missions. I went to Colorado to Mission Church up there, and we did a revival, and I just loved it. I love going door to door, knocking on those doors of people and telling them about Jesus Christ. And say, listen, we're having a revival down here in Cripple Creek, Colorado. At that time, They didn't have the gambling and all of that. There was a little church there. And I said, we want to have a revival down here. If you come down here, we're from Texas, and we're singing and preaching and teaching about Jesus. And, you know, people came. And I said, man, this is great. I like this. Knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus, singing and preaching at night. I said, I can do that for the rest of my life. I love that. I always kind of wanted to do that. But you know what? Although I wanted to be a missionary, God didn't make me a missionary. He said, I want you to pastor a church. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, but I had surrendered to God, and if he said pastor, then you're going to pastor. That's what he wants. And you know what? He called me to preach in a mission field itself, on a mission journey itself. And I said, Lord, you know, you've got a strange way of doing things. I was on a mission field and calling, and now you want me to pastor a church. Well, my pastor at the time, there again, he said, Booney, all God wanted you to do that night is surrender to him. He has a job for you, and if you'll just relax and let go and let God have his way in your heart, he'll put you where he wants you to, and you can just bloom and have a good time where God has planted you. And let me tell you, he has. It's been a blessing. He called me here. You know, when I first saw Gun Barrel, it wasn't the most desirable place. I grew up in a big city called Recklaw. And Gun Barrel wasn't all that, you know, pretty. But I came here, and God has blessed us. And you know what? I'm so happy in Jesus. You know, I'm just happy in Jesus because God has blessed us here in this place. Well, I got to the place where I said, Lord, I'll do anything. And then when God got me to that place, he began to reveal his will for me in my life. Now, he'll do the same thing for you today. If you will be willing to just say, Lord, enlighten me to what you want me to do, and it doesn't really matter what you want me to do, I will do it. To some of you, it may be saying, I want you to go to Africa. Some of you said, I want to go to Turkey or wherever that guy was from. Somebody may be called to India. Somebody may be called to China. Somebody may be called to South America. I don't know. Some of you, he may be calling to preach. Some of you, he may be calling to teach. But if you'll say, Lord, I want to do your will, and I want you to be glorified in my life by doing that, God has a will for you, and he'll make that will known. He'll make that will known. You'll never know that will until you meet that prerequisite and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, even before I know it. So we should pray, Lord, make me willing to be willing to do your will. Now, the Lord enlightens us. Now, the second thing I want you to know about this passage of Scripture, the Lord not only enlightens you, he will equip you, woo, to follow your will. Now, it says the God of grace make what? You perfect in every good work to do his will. Now, that word perfect doesn't mean perfect like we think about, but he makes us perfect to do his will. It means he adjusts our life. And oh, did he adjust our life to do his will. God said, now, Booney, I want you to sell your home. I want you to move out of Rusk. I want you to go to somewhere that you haven't been before. I want you to leave family and everything else. I want you to just say, here it is, Lord, my house is for sale. So Ron and I said, okay, we'll sell our home. We'll move wherever God wants us to do. We'll do it. My father, he's a good guy. But I went down to see him. I said, Daddy, God wants me out of here. I don't know where he wants me to go yet, but he wants me out of here, and he wants me to sell my house. Daddy said, you can't sell your house now. The economy's bad. You're not going to sell your house. It'd be years before you sell your house. Who are you going to put it up with? And I said, well, I didn't plan to put it up. I'm just going to sell it. I went to work the next day and told the guy, I said, you know what? God's called me to preach, and I think he wants me to go somewhere. I'm thinking about selling my house. Just like that, just talking. That night I got a phone call. I said, Booney, yeah, you want to sell your house? I said, well, yeah, I thought about it a little bit. I don't really have a price yet. The guy next door to me, I told him, he only lives 2 miles from me, but there's a big hill coming up Rusk on 84. You know where it's at, the guys that go deer hunting with me, you know where this hill's at. It ices over in the wintertime sometimes, and this old fella, he couldn't get up that hill when it iced over. Now, how many times we have ice storms in East Texas? You know, it's not like it's a big drastic thing. You can't go to town one day because the ice is going to melt the next day. But it was a God thing, see? He says he wants to give you cash for your house. I didn't even tell him what I wanted. He paid us cash for that thing. We was out of house within a week. We were gone. Didn't have a house to live in. It was a God thing. Daddy said, man, God is really at work in your life. I said, I know he is. It's scary, but God is just that way, boy. He adjusts your life to go along with his will. The Hebrew word says God prepares, God equips us to do his will. And you know what? I know where God guides, God provides. Amen? I was living in the mall in Tyler, Texas, sitting there at one of them little fast joint pizza places. I don't really like pizza, but Brother Roy Taney, Roy is a friend of mine. He from over there. He said, I didn't know him at that time, but, you know, Jimmy did. And we were sitting there, and he said, you know, I'm looking for a youth director. Jimmy said, that man right there. I said, what? I've been called a youth director. I've been called a preach. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $50 a week to come to our church to preach, or come to our church to be youth director. He said, and besides that, I've got an old church house there. It won't cost you nothing. You can fix it up and live in it. Old schoolhouse. Oh, I didn't have a house. So I said, Rhonda, we got a house now, man. I got $50 a week coming in. Let's go. So we went. Where God guides, God provides. Now I've got a job as a youth director. Woo! But they ain't making very much money. $50 a week don't go far when you got two kids at home and a wife. But the house was free and the utilities were free. So, you know, you can struggle through and make it on $50 a week if God provides for you. And he did. That man, my brother, said he would back me. He told me he would give me so much money every week. Praise the Lord. When he got his job, that money kept coming in. I met three guys. I knew three guys in Eastside Baptist Church. They said, listen, we're going to give you $600 a week, a month, a piece. I said, what for? Nothing. You call a preacher, we're going to help you. It's a God thing, you see. Me and Rhonda's on our way to Gresham. We didn't have a job, but God provides. We didn't have money coming in, but God provides. You see, where God guides, he provides. But you've got to be willing to do whatever he wants you to do, even before he asks you to do it, to find out his will for your life. Now, then there's the ability not only to equip you, he provides ability to serve. Now, I didn't have any ability. I'll be honest with you. I didn't have any ability. I would be the least likely person that God has a real sense of humor. I didn't know nothing about youth, but I didn't like them. I didn't like them. Here's where our staff meeting went. We come into staff meeting one day. I didn't know nothing. I was green as a gourd. Roy says, Booney, you got anything for the youth? Got anything for the youth? I said, no, but if you'll give me about 10 minutes, I'll find out something about some of them. I can find something bad in anybody's life. He said, you're not thinking the way I'm thinking. I said, you got anything scheduled for the youth to do? Oh, I thought you wanted to find out something bad about them. Oh, man, this youth directing job is going to be great. I said, Lord, you got to help me with this thing. And he did. He did. Praise God. We got the kids started getting saved. You know, God gives us the ability. It wasn't my ability. It was God's ability. God will always give you the ability and provide for you if you will surrender to his will. You see, where God equips, he equips us to do what he wants us to do. Now, if God wants you to preach, he'll give you the ability. And honestly, like I said, I would have never called myself to preach. But God has this thing about calling the unlikely candidates for his ministry. And he always blesses them. God has called me. He's called men. I've known men that couldn't preach. They had no education. They stuttered. Took 10 minutes. Reminds me of the joke I was telling one of them the other day. This young man, he didn't have a job, and he went in. This man, he sold Bibles. And the guy said, What makes you think you could be a Bible salesman? You stutter bad. He said, nothing, but I want to try. He said, okay, guy, give him a box of Bibles. He took off that evening. He come back. He didn't have any Bibles at all. He sold them all. He said, how in the world did you sell those Bibles? Nobody's ever sold Bibles like that. He said, it was simple. I knocked on the door. They come to the door, and I said, would you like this Bible, or you want me to reread it to you? Sold it. All of them. You see, where God guides, he provides. Where he calls, he equips us in life. I remember hearing about a young man who went to his first church. He got there. Well, he wasn't called. He went to be interviewed by this search committee. We all have search committees. It used to be pulpit committees. Now it's a search committee. I don't know what the difference is. But this young man, he kind of was kind of young at this preaching deal, and they wanted a pastor, and he wanted a church. So they sat down and they interviewed him. And when they got to the interview, they said, young man, do you know anything at all about the Bible? He said, yes, sir. He said, I know Old Testament and the New Testament. They said, okay, well let's just tell us what you know about the Bible. Tell us your best sermon right now. He said, I'll tell you what you do. We want you to preach us a sermon, and we'll hire you if you can preach us a sermon on the prodigal son. And he said, let me think about that a minute. He said, okay, there was a man named Nicodemus who had a son. And he went down to Jericho. He fell on some thorny ground, and they choked him almost to death. Solomon and Gomorrah, well, they found him. Took him down to that eastern gate. His hair got caught in a tree, and he remained there 40 days and 40 nights while the ravens were feeding him. And they quit all of a sudden, and his hair let loose of that tree, and he fell down. When he got on the ground, he caught a ship going to Nineveh. Delilah was there at Nineveh. She was sitting on the wall at the Nineveh gate. And he cried, chunk her down, boys, chunk her down. They said, how many times should we chunk her down? He said, 70 times 7. Chunk her down. She burst asunder. And when they gathered up the pieces, there was 12 baskets full. He said, you know, that father said, son, let's go have a feast. That was the story of the prodigal son. Didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, but he knew a little bit about everything in that Bible. Folks, let me tell you, where God equips, God provides. He can take the most ignorant people and save souls with those people. God can speak through a donkey. He can speak through me and you. If you want to know God's will for your life, first you just got to say, Lord, enlighten me. And Lord, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I don't have the ability, but God does. You see? God does. Now listen, God calls people. People get saved. And they know nothing about the Bible, but they simply trust the Bible and God's word. And I've watched as God has just blessed them and blessed them. Listen to me one more time. You obey God's word. God equip you for the service. And then thirdly, we have to have the ability to sacrifice. You see, some are called to leave home. I didn't really want to leave my home. It was just getting comfortable. I sure didn't want to leave my mother and daddy. They just lived right down the street from me. I didn't like to leave my friends. But you know what? Many a pastor are required to leave. They leave a good job for nothing, because that's what churches usually pay. They leave good jobs for a career to go preach. They leave a good job and sell their homes and move simply to follow God's will. Missionaries are the same way, folks. Young men, young women are required. They're required to make sacrifices that we do not understand. But they do because they're following God's will. They're called to leave family. They're called to places that, oh, it's not as good as here. They're called for hard times. They're called from a familiar culture to go to a culture where they're just not like us. The cost of following God is often very high. But those who do know it's also a great blessing. You see, not everybody makes that sacrifice. Not everybody will leave my home and my family and my friends. In ourself, you know, we can't. I can't. However, when one surrenders to God and to the will of God, God will give them the ability to do His will, even under the great sacrifice that He's called them to do. Now, let me tell you, most shrink from that. They shrink from the will of God, for a sacrifice has to be made. And folks, let me tell you something. It is a sacrifice. Anytime that you go on a mission trip, whether it's to Haiti, let me tell you something. It's a sacrifice. It's not a vacation. It's tough. When you go to Africa, it's not a vacation. This blue coat that I have, if I went to Africa and I rode down to the church in it, it would be red. It would be red with dust. Your face would have so much dirt on it, you have to take a rag and wash your face. You went where we went. It's hot, but yet you can sit down and tell people about Jesus all day long, and the Holy Spirit just fills you with a peace that passes all understanding. You see, so many people shrink away from that and say, well, we don't want to do that. And let me tell you something. You'll never know God's will until you're willing to go to where He leads you to go. If you shrink from doing something like that, it's a good indication that you've never really surrendered your life to the will of God to start with. And folks, it takes commitment. I have no regrets. I've got one son right here. I love him to death. I've got one son overseas. People say all the time, well, don't you miss him? I sure do. But I wouldn't want him back here for nothing, because I know that he's happy in God, doing God's will for his life. And I find joy knowing that he's happy. I find joy knowing that he's happy. I find joy because I know that God calls and God provides and God equips. Folks, enlighten me, O Lord, to do your will. And Lord, equip me to do your will. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And then last thing, Lord, enable me to fulfill your will. It says the God of peace is seen working in you. The word working simply means bringing forth. It's also translated did or done. God not only shows us and equips us to do His will, God enables us to fulfill His will. One, you have a well-pleasing life. A well-pleasing life. Oh, to do the will of God is so well-pleasing to God. God looks at you and He says, you know, that's my child down there. He's doing exactly what I ask him to do. When I see my boy, or when I see my other boy, or when I see someone that's doing what God wants them to do, it pleases my heart. It pleases God's heart. And that's all it required, see? He's so happy in Jesus. You know, You as parents know your heart swells with pride at the accomplishments of your children, don't they? Amen. I've heard you tell me about some of your kids, and you say, oh, my kid's doing this, I'm so happy, he's so happy that he's doing this. And I see that you're swole up with pride, you know, and that's not bad. That's a good pride. You ought to have pride in your children. You ought to love them, you support them, and help them. You know, see, that's good. It's a well-pleasing life. It's not only well-pleasing to you, but it is to God when God calls you and you do whatever He will. And a well-done life. In the parable of the talents, there's the ones that were faithful. He says, what? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Paul comes to the end of his life. You know Paul's life. Over 2 Timothy, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. In other words, I've run the race that God wants me to run. I've done His will. It hasn't been easy. It's been a sacrifice, but I am happy in Jesus Christ. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness which the righteous judge. I've kept the faith in Christ. And He said He's going to give me a crown. You see, God assigned Paul. I think about running a race. You know, them athletes run a race and they're assigned a lane to run in. They're not to step out of that lane. Well, God assigned Paul a lane to run in, and he ran it according to God's will. And when he got to heaven, God said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So this morning, I want you to think. This is the last time I preach on choices this week. Pray, Lord, show me your will for my life. Enlighten me. Lord, help me to do your will. And when my life is over, I'll look back with joy, knowing that I've had a well-pleasing life to you. You want to find out God's will for your life? He's not hiding it from you. You've just got to completely surrender and say, Lord, I will do whatever you lead me to do. If you're waiting for Him to show you before you do it, you'll never see it. Wherever He leads, I'll go. That's our motto. Wherever God leads this morning, I'll go. Are you willing to do that? For salvation, you've got to trust God to glorify Him in your life. That's where you have to start, folks. And then say, Lord, with my life that you bought with a price, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. And He will show you. And He'll equip you to do that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much this morning. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision this morning, Lord, let them make that decision. Leave this place today in the center of your will with a peace that passes all understanding, knowing that you're well pleased with their life. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.